open field. 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown! Oh, baby, this kid's pretty good.
You're listening to Bison Report Radio, presented by 24/7 Sports.
The Thunderdome, especially on homecoming, is just not something that you want to allow to get rocking, and they really, really did.
I don't think you could ask for any better. Maybe one more completion to go 11 for 11, but that kid was fun to watch.
Their wing spot is pretty loaded. I mean, you got Jared's going to play. I mean, he's as solid as it gets at the two spot.
Here's your host, publisher of Bison Report, Ross Uglum.
Minnesota State, what is it? Minnesota State Moorhead?
Yeah, Minnesota State University Moorhead.
Okay, because I know when I was growing up, it was Moorhead State University, but Minnesota State University Moorhead, former North Dakota State, All-Valley All-American linebacker?
Yeah, All-Valley.
There we go, All-Valley, okay. Okay, it's hard to keep up. You guys won so many awards during your time there. I'm with Carlton Littlejohn here. Now the co-DC and linebackers coach at Minnesota State University Moorhead. Carlton, how are you? And thanks for coming.
Yeah, I'm doing pretty good. Thanks for having me on the show.
So what have you been up to? Kind of walk us through first, like, your decision-making after your time at North Dakota State. What made you want to coach? And then kind of how you've gotten to where you are now.
Yeah, so right after I was done playing, I wanted to finish up my degree. So instead of going somewhere to train, I did everything just in town. And did another semester of school so I can at least for sure have my degree and fall back on. But so I stayed in town and trained over at the Power Center.
Okay, Stanford Power?
Yep.
Okay.
Actually, it was Esley Thornton was one kind of training me over there because he was doing his, internship there. So I was training there and then just kind of trying to make a team, trying to get ready for that pro day, things like that. Then ended up at the end of the summer being signed by the Blue Bombers over in the CFL.
Yep. That's where I think Ryan Smith was with the Blue Bombers for a little bit.
Yep. Yeah. When I was there, he was with
Saskatchewan.
Yep. Saskatchewan.
Sure.
Yeah, it was the year after I left. He came over to the Blue Bombers. But yeah, did one season there. It was kind of like half a season. I got there in August. I think there's like 20 weeks there, 20 games. So I got there about halfway through, and then. Just did one season there. It was like the last week. I think I was cut. It was like they had one more week, and then they were done with the season. And then they said, I mean, if you try out next year, you for sure make the team. Like, we'll get you there for a full season. But right after I got done playing, I got a call from Joey Blackmore. He was GA-ing over at NDSU at the time, and then he got offered the D-coordinator job at Jamestown.
Okay.
Yeah, so...
And just, if you don't mind me interrupting, how far apart were you and Joey in school? Because he was like a DB special teams guy at North Dakota State. How far apart were you guys?
1 year.
Okay, so he's just 1 year older.
Yeah, so he was there, like, from the beginning. Like, on my recruiting visit, he was one of the guys I was hanging around. So I've known him since, I guess you can say, like, 2009.
Okay.
Yeah, so he called me up, said, hey, so we're going to... I'll be at Jamestown, I need a linebacker coach. So it's between... kind of trying out for CFL again, give that another try, or start coaching. And it was just me not trying to, I guess, waste too many years, like, on a dream that, I mean, there's a slim chance of happening. I mean, a lot of guys make it, but at the time, it was like, I wasn't, like, highly, like, touted. I wasn't, like, that great. Like, I was, in reality, I was like, okay. As I was in the CFL, I was there
Let's start coaching when we're 24, not when we're 28.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I saw probably... minimum 15 guys like come and go as I was in the CFL just for one team. I was like, I don't really, it's not a lot of stability there.
Yeah.
So I was like, it's not the greatest stability in coaching, but a lot better chance than trying to make it there. So decided to get into coaching kind of right away there. So I was there for 1 year as linebackers coach. And then I got a call from Pete Haugen. He's at Gustavus. D3 school, Southern Minnesota.
Yeah, you're talking to a former MIAC athlete. I played golf for Concordia.
Concordia?
Yeah.
There you go.
I can't remember how good they would have been at your time at Gustavus. You might have had some battles.
For football?
Yeah,
they were always like middle of the pack. It would be like, I think St. Thomas and then St. John's.
And Thomas were always
good. They were the top two, and then it would be a battle between like Bethel, Gustavus, and Concordia.
For that third playoff spot.
Yep. Yeah, so I was there for, it was just a year. I was co-DC and then linebackers coach, just like I am now. And then After that, I took the job in Moorhead. Been here ever since. I think going on 3 years now.
Okay. And who are you co-DC with?
Name's Jesse Currier. He's South Dakota native.
Okay.
Roots tie into SDSU. So he's an SDSU guy.
Okay, so now you're the NDSU guy.
Yeah. We don't hold it against him.
Okay. No, who calls the plays?
He calls them.
He calls them, okay.
Yep, he calls the plays. But, I mean, great guy to work with. It's the whole staff there, honestly, at MSU is really, sure. really good to work with.
A lot of North Dakota State ties in that mm-hmm. staff as well. Coach Lockway. You guys have had a number of guys with Bison ties. Where do you think kind of the future of the Northern and Sun Conference is going? Because it's been a little fluid, obviously. What happened with St. Cloud State was unfortunate. You, like most Division II and Division III schools, aren't being able to play. But how has kind of trying to establish Moorhead State's niche, how do you feel like that trajectory is going?
Since I've been here, we've been trending upward. For sure, been trending upward. First year, we ended our NSIC record 8-3. We were able to make a bowl game. So it was a really good year for us that year. We were, I wouldn't say the most talented team. We were just a team who could gut out wins.
Sure.
If it was ever a close game, we ended up winning all those games.
You got all the coin flip games.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's how it is in the NSIC. It's like you got to at least win those 50-50 games, and then you got to get a good game plan and then go in there ready to play against, like, the Mankatos and the Duluth of the conference. So I think we did good that year. This past year, we just didn't win those 50-50 games.
Sure. The coin flip went the other way.
Yep. It was like it was kind of half and half. We didn't have a bad year. I believe we were 6-5. So still winning record, but clearly, like, the guys were like, that's not where we should be. Like,
yep.
They've got higher expectations, and we do too. But we've been trending upwards since I've been here. I mean, even before I got here, it's like when Coach Lockwood took over the program, it was, I don't even know how many scholarships, maybe 8 scholarships. And then, I mean, he's done what he can with the program, and we've worked our way up from being like one of the bottom teams to now I think we're competing for one of those top spots where hopefully in the future we're making a playoff.
Trying to get to the Mankato level, trying to get to the Duluth level, because those programs, I mean, they're nationally good at the Division II level. Every year you mm-hmm. see an NSI school making noise in the playoffs or making, you know, some sort of a deep run. Is that kind of, where do you see kind of your dreams or your goals moving forward? Would you like to move up to the Division I level, or would you like to become a Division II head coach? I mean, where is Carlton Littlejohn like in 5 years?
I don't really know exactly. Like, I think I want to stay at Moorhead for a while. I want to be at a program and kind of establish
myself.
Yeah, exactly. I've been bounced around the first 2 years or 3 years. Now I just want to kind of stay somewhere, build something, like be there for a few recruiting classes, something like that, and then I think whatever comes after that will come. If it's a Division I job, for sure, I'd for sure like to coach Division I level. But I think right now I'm not kind of thinking too far ahead. It's mostly just thinking
one day at a time.
Yeah, what am I doing? What are we doing this season? Like, how's the recruiting? How's the team look right now? Like, stuff like that. And then kind of when opportunities come, that's when I'll kind of react and see what's happening there, see what I want, what I'm feeling at the time.
For sure, for sure. So, that building process, I feel like that's something that you were definitely a part of at North Dakota State. When you, like, what year did you come into the program?
2010 was my first year.
So you were basically recruited then while the team was 3-8. They had had the, you know, the Steve Walker, Joe Mays mm-hmm. years. They'd had those fantastic years. They come down, almost beat the Gophers, come back the next year. They beat the Gophers, but then kind of, like 8-4, 3-9, you know, leaner yeah. times. You guys had to felt like you kind of helped build something there. What was your recruiting pitch like during the time then when they were struggling? I mean, how did they sort of approach you? What stuck out about North Dakota State at that time?
Yeah, at the time, it was Coach Vegan who was recruiting me. Pretty much kind of what we're doing in Moorhead. We're just like, we're not going to say we have all the flashiest stuff. It was just like, hey, we have a...
You're going to work out in a Sun Mart.
Yeah. We're going to just... Hey, we're going to come here. We've had a winning culture. Like, this whole, like, the losing season this year, don't worry about that. Like, we've got a winning culture. We've got a fan base. We've got a brotherhood there. And, like, that's kind of what stuck. And then I think what got me was the recruiting visit. I was there, and I was around the players and just saw, like, how close everyone was. It was like, you can go from, like, one dorm to the other, just like, hey, what's up? Like, they're all, like, it's pretty much like they're all best friends.
Sure.
Yeah, so that's kind of what got me. I was just like, this is a place I for sure want to be at. And then I think it helped that we're playing in the Dome. That helps a lot.
Okay.
I know the places I was considering, it's like, okay, if I'm playing in the Midwest, it'd be nice
to play inside.
Yeah. Like, I've dealt with the cold in high school. We've dealt with that. But, like, if I could, I'd like to play inside. But that's, and then seeing the Dome, like,
I think they now you're in the NSIC. You're back outside.
Back outside.
For sure. So, did they kind of show you, because, correct me if I'm wrong, but I felt like during your career, you did a lot of the things that Ramon Humber did. Slightly undersized linebacker, but, you know, Joe was kind of the thumper. You played with some phenomenal Mikes in Nick and Grant. But that was sort of what I was reminded of as far as your career and his. Did they show you a lot of Ramon's work when you were being recruited or when you were a young player?
No, they didn't. I didn't see many of the old, like, the old clips. For sure, they didn't bring him up too much. I knew
him. Where was he from?
I thought he went to, I want to say Champlain Park.
And you went to?
Minneapolis North.
Okay, so same conference or not?
No.
Okay.
I don't really know the conferences.
Now. But I mean, you didn't play Champlain.
No.
Okay. No. So you are a guy in a long list of really good NDSU defenders that played quarterback in high school, correct?
Yeah.
So what is it that you think? I mean, Jabril played QB. Obviously, Esley played QB. Hendricks played QB. What is it about that experience at the quarterback position? I've always joked that if you could give me an entire defense made out of guys that used to play, Dudzik used to play QB.
Yeah.
If you could give me an entire defense made out of former quarterbacks, I'd take it because you guys just seem to see the field so well.
I think part of it is, like, in high school, most times you're putting your best player at QB anyway. Like you're, like, most talented player. If you're in a small school, so when I was at North, I think we played maybe 16 to 17 kids total.
Okay.
Like, we had a team of, like, 23, I think, my sophomore year. It kind of grew to, like, 50 or so. But, like, you just kind of put the better athletes at QB. Like, even now at the college level recruiting high school kids, you look at those QBs and you kind of look at those intangibles. Like, okay, he's pretty athletic while he's running. How's he finished? Like, is he one of those guys who's going to just run out of bounds? Does he lower the shoulder? Is he finesse? So you kind of look at who's a better athlete. Like, if you look at everyone's tape, like, even playing QB, like, Dudzik was running all over the field. Looking like, I don't know, like, probably like a Cam Newton type guy, just a foot shorter, whatever.
But. Sure.
No, he's like, you look at those better athletes, and they're at QB, but I think playing QB, you got to know a lot more. Like, when I was at North, I had to know every route that the receivers were running, I had to know the protection. You had to, like, know those little things, so I think it helps. Like Dudzik had to go be the safety and, like, give calls to, like, the corners, or sometimes give calls to the back, or same thing with the backers. Like, you're pretty much the quarterback of the defense anyway as linebacker. So,
sure.
Same thing. I got to know what the D-line is doing. I got to know their stunts because it changes my gap. I got to know coverage-wise, like, what we're doing, because I got to communicate with those corners and safeties on what coverage we're in on that side of the field sometimes. So I think it just translates pretty well from offense to defense, knowing what everyone's doing.
Sure. I mean, and like you mentioned, I mean, if you have a great recruiting class, five of the kids might have played. You know, if it's 20 kids, five of them might have played quarterback. You're probably only going to put one in the QB room.
Yeah.
But you're trying to get these leaders. You're trying to get these best athletes, like you mentioned, that were moved into the position. So when did you really get your break as far as playing time? I'm sure you came up like a lot of NDSU guys where your first kind of break was on coverage units or was on teams. But I feel like you played pretty young.
Yeah, so at the time, the D coordinator, Scotty Hazleton, was, I think he just wanted to get young guys on the field. So I had to work for it, but my freshman year, my red shirt freshman year, I wasn't a starter at the time, so we rotated. So me, Beck, and Brandon Jemison were all Sam linebackers.
Right.
So BJ was always a starter, and I think the first game it was, hey, BJ, you go the first drive, all right, and then second drive, like, I'll go out there, then third drive, BJ, fourth drive, Beck, and then we just rotated that way, so We got some reps, not all, and then third down package when we brought Nickel in, I switched from Sam to Mike, and then Beck switched from Sam to Will.
Right, because they generally take Gio off the field in those situations, or Preston probably Chad Wilson at that time. Sure. So who had to make the position switch when they decided, okay, we need to figure out a way to get Carlton and Travis on the field together?
It was our sophomore year. They switched Beck to Will.
Okay.
And I stayed at Sam.
Okay. So, I know this is maybe like picking your favorite kid, but I've talked to a lot of the guys about these FBS games, and it's a kind of a topic of conversation because they did lose the Oregon game this year. I feel like being a Minneapolis North kid, the answer is probably the Gophers. Is that the one that's the most memorable for you just because, you know, Cole Jarrett has sat in that chair? There have been guys, obviously, that felt like they could have worn the maroon and gold, but they were overlooked for whatever reason. I mean, is that kind of the game for you?
I think at the time, yes.
Okay. Like,
every guy on that team from Minnesota was like, we want a shot at Minnesota because, like, you got guys who were getting shots at the NFL and they were overlooked by their home state. So, for sure, at the time, I think it was Minnesota. I think overall, if I look back at it, I'd say Kansas State was, like, the biggest game, though. Because at the time, like, when we watched film on those guys, oh, they looked scary. Like, they were legit, like, the scariest team I've seen, going from every personnel grouping from, like, 21 pers to 11.
And I mean, they had just, and you guys had to know they were losing a lot, but, I mean, they had just won the Big 12. They're right. Defending Big 12 champions. You guys had all the intentions in the world on going undefeated because you had basically played, and I know there were some interchangeable parts and some guys mm-hmm. did graduate, but you had kind of been together now for your third season, and I know that undefeated word was at least addressed in the offseason. What do you remember about that game, aside from the heat?
Yeah, the heat was horrible. I remember a lot of mistakes. Like, I made a bunch of mistakes that game. It's like a mixture of just big game, mixture of we had a big game plan in. Like, I still look back at my notes. I still have my notepad from that week, and we had so many calls in there. Want everything to look kind of the same. So it was like just a lot on the plate. But then I just remember us having to settle in. I think it was like that third and fourth quarter when we were down big. I remember the fans just giving us hell.
I think it was 21-7 at one point.
Yeah, it was 21-7. You just hear the fans behind you. It was like, hey, you're not playing these JV teams anymore. Like, you're playing the big boys now. And I'm just like, you can't let it get to you. You can't, like, show that
but you
can
hear it.
Oh, you for sure. Everything fans say, we hear it.
Sure.
We hear it for sure. A lot of times you just laugh it off, but, like, it kind of gets on your skin. And, like, we're down 21-7. I'm just like, this is not how this game
is. They cannot score again.
Yeah, this is not how this game's going to go. I remember personally, I gave up a touchdown. I was so mad about it. It was like,
which one was on you?
They had that running quarterback in there.
Yeah, Sam.
Yep. So he did, like, a quarterback run. And I saw the guard. I think we were in, like, a man defense. I had B-gap. I remember the guard, I don't think he meant to pull. He was just blocking. He ended up overlapping his.
Because it looked like quarterback power left is what it ended up looking like because they moved the whole damn offensive line.
Yeah, so I remember that guard, like, he must have blocked down so hard, it looked like he pulled. And so I'm like, all right, he pulled. I'm running through A-gap. So I ran through the A-gap, and he just squared back door in that B-gap and ended up being a touchdown. Now, I was telling the coach, like, I saw guard pull, like, 100%. Like, we watched the film. It's like, I can see what you saw there. It wasn't exactly guard pull. But
get your ass in the B-gap.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, it was one of those. Like, I was trained, like, because I remember as a young player, I never saw guard pull. And, like, that was something I worked on. And so now at that time, it was like, if I see guard pull, I'm running through the A-gap. Like, I 100% need to run through the A-gap. I was almost like a robot at that point.
Sure.
So, I mean, learn from there and learn to kind of widen your vision a little bit. But, yeah, I remember getting up that touchdown and just feeling like crap.
But the end of the game had to have been, I mean, it had to feel just awesome.
Yes.
Especially with the fireworks. That's my favorite Travis Beck story of all time. For those of you that haven't heard it, Travis was kind of admiring the fireworks and said something along the lines of, man, I wonder what they do when they win. Yeah. And it was for the dedication of the addition of the Bill Snyder family stadium. Yeah. But, you know, NDSU wins last second game and all of a sudden there's fireworks going off at Kansas State. I don't think they planned it that way.
Yeah, I'm guessing not. I don't think they thought they'd go out that way. But it was nice, like, having the whole team, like, run to our little section of the stadium. Pretty sure the whole team went there. Like, I remember, so my family's from Kansas City.
Okay.
That's where I'm originally from. So my brother came to the game and brought, like, some people. So I remember, like, going up talking to
them. You got a little John, like, crew, a little cheering section.
Yep. So I remember going talking to them. He's like, dude, you guys just actually beat Kansas State.
this happened.
Yeah, I'm like...
You're like, yeah, I was there.
Yeah, I was like, I guess, yeah, that just happened. Like, every game's just like, you don't realize at the moment how big it is. Like, you look back now and people are like, oh, that game's so historic. You're just like, oh, we barely hung on to that one and then move on to next week.
What was that like? Because I feel like you had to feel almost like a fan in the sense of that, I think it was 10 plays, 80 yards, or 12 plays, 80 yards, that yeah. drive. Langer was huge. Brock obviously was huge. Mm-hmm. But I mean, you're on the sideline. It's out of your control. There's no Carlton package on offense. It's out of your control. What's that feeling like?
So helpless. I never watch.
Okay.
Like, all those, like.
So did you watch for that?
No.
Okay.
I just usually sit there and kind of have my head down a little bit. I don't know, just looking in the stands, just hoping.
Not watching the board either.
No, I don't watch any of that. I just kind of don't watch. When it's last minute's offense, I'm just like, I don't need to watch. I feel like if I watch it, I'll like curse it or something.
Sure. And then I believe you guys are on the field for one play, and Gio grabs a deep interception.
Yeah, he probably got a pick that game. I think that was his only pick of his career.
So you guys get through, obviously, the Kansas State game, win the national championship. And then you are, correct me if I'm wrong, but you are one of the guys that does not move on, correct? You did not graduate that year, or did you?
No.
Right. So what... Brock's gone. Billy's gone. Marcus is gone. I think the safeties are back. But overall, I think Jarek graduates.
Yeah.
I think Drevlo and LP graduate.
Yep.
Look, the 2013 Bison are remembered for a reason. What are those conversations like then? I'm sure you guys knew Carson was good. But just in general, what are those conversations like where, okay, guys, we just lost 15 or 16 of... like NDSU Hall of Fame caliber, you know, players, guys that'll be remembered forever. What's that conversation like? And not only that, Craig went to Wyoming.
Yeah, forget it. Yeah, that's the year it all happened, huh? I remember just thinking, all right, so we just got to get, like, through the valley. That was my goal. I was like, we got to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
I wasn't thinking, like, oh, national championship run. I was like, we got to just...
Somehow we got to not let this thing fall to pieces.
Yeah, I wasn't worried about any of that other stuff. No records, anything. I was just worried about, all right, we gotta somehow make the playoffs because we didn't have any interior D-line, and we had the only returner come back was Kyle on the D-line. Linebackers I knew would be good. I think corner, we had CJ coming back, and then we had...
Yep.
And Jalen Allison, I think. Was that his year? Or no, Trey Dempsey. He had to come in and play a little corner.
Yep, Jalen played a little. Trey played a little corner before he moved to free safety because you still had Duds and Heeks, but you were thin at corner, thin up front. Absolutely.
So I was like, okay, who's going to play D-line for us? That was my big thing. It's like,
who's playing in front of me? Who's taking up blocks?
Yep. Yeah, so I was really worried about that, and then I never knew what happened on offense. I just knew Carson was there, and I knew we had Crockett. And I was like, our offensive line's always going to, we're going to run the ball.
Yeah, Zach is here for his 11th year in the program.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're good.
Yeah, I didn't know how good Carson would be. Like, I knew, like, he was good. Like, clearly I knew he was good, but I kind of figured out how good he was at fall camp where I don't think I picked him off one time. I don't think I even, like, swatted a ball down. I remember running cover two down the middle of the field. Like, I'm baiting him. I see a guy running down the seam, but I'm hanging backside on the backside seam. Like, he throws this ball.
I'm getting it.
Oh, it's picked. He threw the ball. I was like, oh, yeah. I'm like, I'm getting there. And it just, he rocked that thing
just
in there.
Whistles.
Yeah. I had no chance of getting that. And I was like, okay. And then he had a few. Yeah, he had a few throws. He'd roll to the right and just sling it all the way to the left end zone.
Because the old story is, you know, he's like a true freshman and a redshirt freshman. He used to drive Bowl insane as the scout team quarterback.
Oh, my God. He would, like, look, he would throw no-look passes. He, because clearly he knows the routes that's on a car.
Yeah.
He would drop back, knowing that we're in cover three or like cover two. He just dropped back. He knew the coverage. He just look here, and at the last second, just fire it in there. And we would just
like Mahomes and Rodgers stuff on scout team. That's awesome. Obviously, that's how you start making $31 million a year, I suppose.
Yeah.
Fast forward to kind of that time then. You're gearing up for Illinois State. I think it was kind of an odd scheduling quirk, right? You guys didn't actually even get Illinois State during the regular season, correct?
Yeah, exactly. It was really weird because our only loss was Northern Iowa. and their only loss was to Northern Iowa.
Sure.
And then we played each other in the national championship. Never played each other in the regular season.
Yep, so Coal Valley champions.
Yeah, it's like pretty much this is for the Valley and the Natty.
Right. What was I mean, Roberson and Coppridge, I mean, what was that game like? I'm not trying to diss you guys, but obviously that was not a Bison defense performance. Like, what happened in that game, what was that like? Not a lot of college quarterbacks are still playing corner in the league.
Yeah. I mean, that playoff experience as a whole kind of went like I thought it would go. Like, our defense was going to struggle. I think we gave it the most points in Bison history in that playoff. It was like 21 points a game or something like that. But
which is just not the standard, obviously.
No, but we struggled a lot. We just had a lot of young guys playing, which you have to do. And, I mean, gave them a lot of experience, but...
That's why they were so good in 15 and in 17, obviously.
Yeah, exactly, because you got those young guys that pretty much like how we were. With.
Yep.
But that was...
Yeah, because you guys didn't win every game by 20 in 11 or 12 either.
Yeah, no. No, we had close games that year. Yeah, but that Illinois State game was a tough one. That was probably, I'd say, go down as the best college game I've played in. Just because, I mean, it was so up and down. It was like, we thought for sure, like, we're going to blow these guys out. We were up, I think, 21 to, like, 7 at one point, and then they, like,
that had weird
fourth down to the tight end. O'Shaughnessy?
O'Shaughnessy on the right hash, right sideline.
Yeah.
And guys just, it was like watching the Three Stooges. Guys just flew by him, and all of a sudden he was in the end zone.
Mm-hmm. It's like everyone, like, blames himself. I knew I gave up contain to the QB. I remember that. I think I was blitzing on that play, and I should have had him. He got off right before I tackled him, and then it was, I think it was a fourth down or either a third and long. And I just remember after that, I was like, oh, okay, well, we're in a ball game again.
Yep.
So that was like the turning point. If we would have made him punt there, I'm sure our offense would have drove and scored.
And then it is a walk.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But no, it was just a lot of mistakes on defense, like tackling, not in your gap, stuff like that. And like that guy exposes for sure did. Like it was, if you're not in your gap, Trey Roberson was running for freaking 60.
Yeah, well, right. I mean, that's that last play I'll never forget. Duds was somebody that, you know, I was at Pro Day. I had him hand timed in the 4.4s.
And yeah.
Trade, I mean, just absolutely angle erased. It had to still be, though, a pretty phenomenal feeling when your college career was over and it ended with you on the podium with that confetti. I mean, that has to be, because you know, like, yeah, you tried to play in Canada and you know you're going to Pro Day and you knew that your journey was maybe going to continue, but at least the college part of your journey, so few players get to end it like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was... At the end, kind of a relief because you know, like, hey, you're done. There was not much more you could do there.
Yeah.
Like, only lose three games. You win four natties, and you're just like, all right, we did it all.
My legacy is pretty darn awesome.
Yeah, it's like, okay, now I can kind of, like, I guess live college. Like, that was my big thing. I can go be a normal student for a little bit. Like, there's no practice right now.
Your alarm's not going off at 5.
No, I was able to, at least for a few weeks, just live it up, just hang out. And that was one of the better feelings, to just be able to do that.
I want to talk a little bit about kind of the current guys, or at least kind of where the program has gone. Because what I think you've seen is, with the spread, seeing even smaller guys like the Kaiser kid from I believe the Minneapolis area as well, is the linebacker position getting smaller and faster in all levels of college football?
Yeah, I think so. You can even see the NFL too.
Yeah, your 240-pound guys aren't everywhere anymore.
Yeah, and if you are 240, better be able to run now.
Right.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I think guys don't need to be as big. I think we proved that. Like, Beck was playing at, like, 208. I was playing around 218. And
Grant was your big guy at 5'11", 225.
Yeah, I was like, so you don't need to be that big. You just, like, even when I'm recruiting, you don't need to be a huge linebacker. If you can run, if you can be physical, like, you don't need to take on 300-pound linemen all the time. Like, if you can, I don't know, shock shag it off a block real quick, use your athleticism, like, they have no chance of blocking you, so... You don't need to be, like, that huge thumper anymore.
What made Jabril Cox so special? I mean, Ed Orgeron has said, like, he's the best player we have on defense right now. He's the best player we've had all fall camp. What makes him so good, and what was he able to do for that North Dakota State defense that they're going to have to try and replicate now?
From the few like reps I've seen of him, like I think he just has a good instinct. Like clearly he knows the playbook, but like if you just get him out there on the field, let him ball. Like I think like he's athletic enough, he knows the game enough to where he can just make plays like that. I think that helps him a lot. It helps that he's, what, 6'2 or something like that? 6'3?
Yeah, he's like 6'3, 228.
Yeah, so if you're 6'3 and you can run like that, like, you can do whatever you want on the football field.
Life is pretty easy. Was Matt your position coach?
Ents?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What does he do so well as a coach? I mean, you obviously worked with him day in and day out. The program hasn't seemed to skip a beat with him. I mean, what do you think he does well? Why is he a successful Division I head football coach?
Well, he adjusts. Like, he adjusts to the times. He adjusts with his players. Like, I noticed that right away when he got in. Like, I remember talking ball with him for a while. Like, he came in. He, like, learned all of our terminology. He was like, okay, well, I used to call it this, but, I mean, the whole, you guys all call it this. I'll just call it
this.
We're
going to call it this now, yeah.
Yeah, we'll just call it whatever you guys are calling it. Or like, he'll, like, I remember just meeting with him in his office one day. I don't know if I even planned it. He just had a board full of notes, like run fits and stuff. He was just like, all right, so cover three, we get this formation. What do you think right now? And I was just telling him what I thought. I was like, I guess I thought of it this way, but if you think of it that way, like, and he'll adjust from there, like, you don't even know, the night before a game, the long text he would send, he would just, it would be like trying to describe football through text.
Not functional.
Oh, I mean, we got it, but it's right. Like, so that text would be just so long. And it's the night before the game. Like, the game plan's in.
And he's making adjustments.
It wasn't even adjustments. He was just, like, he wanted to make sure that we knew, like, exactly what was going on. Like, he was, like, so down-to-earth where he can just talk to you, like, okay, like, how you feeling today? Like, is it, you know exactly what this is? Or, like, just little things like that. It wasn't like he was just, like, okay, I'm the D-corner. I'm the boss. Like, this is how things are going to go. Like, he was, like, kind of like Klein was. He's more of a player's coach.
Player's coach.
Yeah, who?
Because Bull was kind of just kind of the CEO, kind of oversaw things and let his coaches coach, but was not nearly as involved as I think these two have been.
Yep, exactly.
That reminds me a little bit of just a couple weeks ago. Oddly enough, it was a press conference to talk about not playing. Now they are playing at least one game. But Matt said, "Well, I don't have any hobbies." Have you kind of noticed that about? I mean, football is his hobby. We're here in my home studio right across the street from Oxbow. There's plenty of coaches that have used some of this time off to play golf, but I feel like Matt's like still in his basement just grinding film. Have you kind of noticed that about him, his just love and passion for the game?
Yeah, he loves football. He loves talking about it, watching film. Pretty sure I got like a video of him like coaching his son playing Madden.
That's phenomenal. Like, why are you running cover three here?
Yeah, I think that's exactly what he said. Like, why would you run, like, why are they running that play to, like, that coverage or something like that? Like, he loves football.
That's phenomenal. Do you still keep in touch with Gio?
Yeah. We just went bowling, like, last week.
That's awesome. That's where I saw you two. Are you a big bowler?
Yeah. So I usually get that summer bowling pass at the bowlers.
Like, $25 all summer long.
Yeah, I've been bowling.
Free advertising for them.
Exactly. I go there enough. They know me enough. Like, I walk in there. They give me the size 12 right away. I don't have to ask. I just put my card down. But just got my own bowling ball this summer.
See, I made fun of my wife because she has a little bag with her own shoes and her own ball. But you're an own ball guy, too.
Yeah, I don't have my own shoes. But I bought it from them. So the guy kind of talked to me. He was like, hey, he was giving me little lessons. I go there a lot. And he was just like, all right. If you're going to be here all like this.
We're going to teach you how to do it right.
Yeah, so he started teaching me, and then he was like, hey, if you get your own ball, like, it'll be a lot easier. So they had a ball. Well, I was looking on Amazon, and then I was asking those guys, like, what's the price range you, like, want to pay for a ball? And he was like, well, he told me, and then he was like, well, we got this ball right here, and they gave me a good deal for it, too. So
sure.
Gave him the bag with it, so I was like, all right, I'll.
That's awesome.
He got me.
I mean, what's in Grant's future? Do you think this is a defensive coordinator, head coach? I mean, a lot of guys had talked about him as the smartest guy they've ever played with.
Yeah, he for sure is. The only guy who's going to go to school for engineering just to coach football. Well, yeah, I see him for sure being a D coordinator somewhere, head coach if he wants to be. But, yeah, he's for sure the smartest guy. Like, even our first fall camp, I think he'd maybe gone up for like 2 weeks in the summer before we first got there. And I remember getting to campus, like fall camp, we got those installs. Like they give us our playbook. We're supposed to learn all these formations. They're calling us out, like, watch a film. Hey, what formation is this? I'm just like, that's twins, doubles, something. I'm like, I have no idea.
And Grant's like, boom.
Oh my God. Hey, let's gun trips off or something like that. Like, let's gun your doubles. Or something like that. It's like it's he just knew it all. Like you can tell, he picks up things fast, like from school to football to just everything. He picks up things fast. He's a smart guy.
All right, folks. Well, that Carlton, we really appreciate you having on. And hey, if next fall, obviously, or even this spring, if North Dakota State's schedule and MSUM schedule flexes a little bit, get over and catch the Dragons play, right?
Yeah, for sure.